Glory be to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives will not remain the same. Hallelujah. Lives are being transformed by the preaching of the word of God. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. This is part 29. And in the last teaching, I thought I was going to close on this issue of study. But then I feel a need to give some more examples on how to use Greek concordances or Greek dictionaries and lexicons for your personal study. Because most times people abuse those materials or resources. You find people just cherry-picking words to, you know, or misapplying different definitions in to different contexts in which those words appear in the Bible. So there's a way to use the dictionaries. They have different meanings based on the context. You know, words have different meanings based on the context they appear in. Hallelujah. So I want to show you some more examples. In the last one, we saw how the word sozo was used. That's the word that is translated save or saved. We saw how it was used in different places. Amen. So salvation is not always about deliverance or rescue and release from the judgment or the penalty of sin. It could also just mean salvation from deception. Hallelujah. Preservation from deception, or to shield one from danger. Glory to God. So let's look into scriptures today to see how some other words are used and they have different meanings based on the context they appear in. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Thank you for a heart of wisdom that is granted to us in this study. Thank you because our lives will not remain the same. Thank you because we'll be better furnished in our understanding of your word. We honor your name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm going to start with the word mind. There's a particular word, Greek word translated mind in the New Testament. That's the word nous. N-O-U-S. Nous. You find this word used in different places to mean human intellectual faculty or the faculty of thinking. That is your mind, your natural mind. Praise God. That sphere of thinking, emotions, and all that. So this particular word is used for it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thinking faculty. Hallelujah. Your thinking faculty, be transformed by that. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. So words mean different things based on the context they appear in. Romans chapter 14. In verse 5, Bible says, one person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Hallelujah. In his mind, his thinking, his thoughts. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Words mean different things based on context. 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Have the same kind of thinking, the same kind of thoughts. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. You see, in all of these places, there's a common usage. Amen. There's a common usage. Thinking faculty, thoughts, mindset. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. So again, the human thinking faculty, the human mind. However, this same word is used differently at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. And a misunderstanding of this particular usage is the reason why some folks do not feel that there's a need for them to renew their minds as Christians. They assume they already have the mind of Christ. Yeah, that's the scripture I'm going to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Bible says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So people run off from this text and say, I have the mind of God. Oh, glory to God. I have the mind of God. And you say, you seem confused right now. You say, I can't be confused. I have the mind of God. Bro, you are confused already. Hallelujah. You are confused because you don't even know the difference between 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Romans 12:2. Amen. If you have the mind of God, as your natural mind is now the mind of God, then you don't need a renewal of mind as it is prescribed at Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Bear in mind, it was the same writer. Amen. The same person that wrote 1 Corinthians 2:16 is the same person that wrote Romans chapter 12 verse 2. So if you already have the natural mind, your natural mind is now the mind of Christ, then you don't need to renew your mind. Amen. I mean, you can't be renewing your mind, which is the mind of Christ, to what exactly? Amen. So the mind of Christ at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16 is the revelation of Christ to us. That mind is not in your mind. That mind is in the scriptures. The revelation of God to us. So we can safely call it the mind of God as revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. What God, and then if you follow the context of 1 Corinthians 2, you notice that he began to talk about that which God has revealed. Amen. From verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for I didn't know they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely revealed, are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And then he says, for who has known this mind of God, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So the mind of Christ is the revelation, the mystery revealed to us in Christ via the ministry of the apostles, the revelation of God. So the word mind, translated from the Greek word nous, can mean human thinking faculty or human way of thinking. It could also mean revelation or understanding. Hallelujah. So we have an understanding of Christ that has been revealed to us via the scriptures. Amen. Now, that's the reason why you find Paul also write at Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you already have the mind of Christ, as in a default setting, natural setting in your mind, because you have believed the gospel, then you don't need this instruction to let this mind be in you, the same one that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Of course, the word mind here is another Greek word entirely. That's the word phroneo, which means to direct one's mind to something. It means to set your mind on something, to lead your mind to pay attention to something. Hallelujah. That's the way the word is used. Romans in chapter 4 verse 5, Bible says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit the things of the Spirit. So they set their minds on it. That's the word for neo. Praise God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Bible says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Do not set your mind on something. So you see, that's the way the word is used. It means to set your mind on something, to lead your mind to consider something. So Paul at Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. That is, be of this disposition, the same one that was found in Christ. What is that disposition in the context of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5? It's the disposition of humility. How that Jesus did not count it robbery to drag equality with God. Amen. But he humbled himself, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He set aside all that. And then he lived his life as a servant. Praise God. So Paul is saying the believer also should have that kind of mindset, that kind of disposition as a man walking the face of the earth. Now, if the believer already has the mind of Christ, this particular mind of Christ, then he doesn't need this instruction. Hallelujah. But you see, that mind of Christ is not in you. Amen. When Bible says we have the mind of Christ, it's not referring to your own mind, your natural mind. Praise God. It's referring to the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. The revelation of what Christ has done. It's as we allow that revelation into our own minds are renewed. Praise God. So we have the mind of Christ. Not that it's not your mind, it is the mind of Christ. Amen. It is the mind of Christ. It is the revelation of Christ, the understanding of Christ, which has come to us via the ministry of the word. And as we allow the mind of Christ into our own minds, our minds are renewed and set right. Amen. So that's that about the word mind. You see how that it's used in different ways in the Bible, in the New Testament. Words have different meanings based on context. Let's see another word quickly. The word spirit. Hallelujah. So spirit in the New Testament, there's a particular word translated spirit in many places. That's the Greek word pneuma. Pneuma is spelled pneuma is spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. P-N-E-U-M-A. And this particular word could be used for intelligent beings. Intelligent beings, that is, it could be for a man, it could be for God, it could be for the Spirit of God, it could be for unclean spirits. You see now? So it could be for unclean spirits. I mean, the same word could mean different things. Sometimes it means attitude. Sometimes it means wind, breath. Sometimes, so there are different meanings for the word pneuma. That is why you must look in context. You must check the appearance of the word. You must pay attention to the surrounding verses, you know, every time you come across that word to be able to give the right definition. So I'm going to show you some places where the word spirit is not translated as an intelligent being or, you know, a person. Not for God, not for the human spirit, it's just for other things. Praise God. So let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. To 13. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 to 13. Hallelujah. So, you know, the reason why we're doing this is so that you don't get lazy with dictionaries and lexicons. It's a lazy approach to study, to just go and pack every place you see the word and then just get to the pulpit or get to wherever you want to preach and begin to read from there, or even just pack them into your sermon notes. That's not how to use Greek dictionaries and lexicons. You must be a diligent student of the word of God who is ready to pay attention to the context in which words are used. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, Bible says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now my spirit there is about a state of mind. Praise God. That's where you'll be troubled. You won't find rest. Not in your spirit in Christ. Do you understand? Not your spirit as a believer. But a state of mind. How do we know this? Because it says, it gives us the reason why he had no rest. It says, because he did not find Titus. So that he was troubled in his mind. He didn't see him. Hallelujah. And then he was troubled. Praise God. So spirit here is not for the human spirit or an intelligent being or anything. It's about the state of mind. A state of mind that was troubled in my mind. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. This one has been a major problem for people who fight against ES. It's been a major problem text for them. And it's simple if you follow the context to understand what Paul was saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 1. Bible says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now the spirit of man in Christ is not filthy. Amen. It's not filthy. We have the spirit of God in Christ Jesus. We've been washed. Hallelujah. And when Bible says we've been washed, it's not referring to our bodies. Amen. The perfection we have is in our spirits. So there's no filthiness in your spirit. So what was Paul saying in this place? Hallelujah. Look at from verse 11. It says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. That is chapter 6, verse 11. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light? What communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. He already mentions what is unclean. Now, where is that unclean stuff? In the midst of the world. Association with unbelievers. Association with the world. Association with idols. Amen. So we have flesh, men, humans, interactions with men. We have spirits, idols. You know, an idol is nothing in this world, Paul says. But then, we understand that the things that Gentiles sacrifice to idols, they sacrifice unto demons. So whenever you find idols mentioned, you are referring to an unclean spirit. Praise God. So come out from among them, be separate, do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, verse 1, therefore having these promises, what promises? What he mentioned, the promise of being father to us and we being his children, we already have this promise. We're not striving to obtain this promise. Therefore, having obtained this promise, hallelujah. This was written in the Old Testament as, you know, come out from idols and I'll receive you. In the New Testament, it's written as, because you have come out from among them and I'm your father and you are my children, you should cleanse yourself from every filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The filthiness of the flesh and the spirit is not in the believer. It's not from the believer. It is from outside. That which he was discussing from chapter 6. Association with ungodly men, association with idols. So the flesh there is about men, interactions with worldly folks. The spirit there is about the idols, amen, in the world. Glory be to God. So look at that now. It's not referring to the human spirit. It's not referring to God. It's referring to interactions with idols. That's where the filthiness is. Amen. 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 13. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 13. And it's all the same word, pneuma. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 13, it says, therefore we have been comforted in your comfort and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. His spirit has been refreshed by you all. Now, what was refreshed? The spirit of Titus, as in his spirit in Christ, or his mind. Hallelujah. His mind. Because the word refresh there means to repose. It means to take rest. Hallelujah. That's not your spirit in Christ. Your spirit in Christ was not unsettled. It's about a state of mind. That is, what happened to Titus when he saw them and he bonded, he related with the brethren, they received him. What happened to him after all was that he was refreshed in his mind. Praise God. So look at this other place. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 18. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Bible says, I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? When he says, did we not walk in the same spirit? It wasn't referring to the spirit. Amen. Or a walk in the spirit. It's referring to having the same pattern, the same conduct, the same attitude. Amen. And what is that attitude? Of not taking advantage of the saints. Praise God. I heard Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? That is the same conduct of not taking advantage of the saints. That's what the father refers to as, you know, the same steps. Did we not walk in the same steps? The same pattern, the same attitude. So spirit is not always about your spirit in Christ, or the spirit of God. Could also be used for an idol, unclean spirits, or for the attitude of a man. Hallelujah. Attitude, conduct, character, a pattern. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Bible says, you know, and you see the importance. Now, the same words in different contexts. That's why you can't afford to be lazy with Greek and Hebrew lexicons. You must give due diligence to find out the meaning of words in their context. So they'll give you different meanings. You now know the one that applies to that word in different contexts. Amen. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What is that spirit? Gentleness. The attitude of gentleness. The conduct, the character of gentleness. Hallelujah. That is the spirit, the gentleness. You know, even in normal English usage, you find people say, I like that guy. I like his spirit, you know, his spirit. I like his spirit at work. I like his spirit towards this particular project. I like his spirit. You know, we're talking about his attitude. Amen. That which we can see. Glory to God. So look at this other place. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Ephesians 1 17. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give what? The spirit of wisdom. Let's get to pray. The spirit of wisdom is not saying there's a spirit or the spirit of God somewhere called the spirit of wisdom. No. It's referring to the revelation. Hallelujah. The revelation of that which is has. So you see, he's talking about revelation and knowledge. So that God will give to us a revelation, a mind, amen, of that which we have in Christ Jesus. Not a particular spirit or the Holy Ghost that has wisdom, but a revelation of that which is us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. And you see, that's why at Ephesians chapter 3, the way to have that prayer answered is to read his epistle. So at chapter 3, it says from verse 3, it says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, so it is not it's not some random spirit somewhere. It's about the revelation of our inheritance in Christ, which is known only as a man yields his mind to sound teaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. The same Greek word pneuma used in different ways. Ephesians 4, 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What exactly does that even mean? The phrase, the spirit of your mind. Is there a spirit in your mind? Do you have the spirit in your mind? It's referring to the attitude, the conduct, the character that flows from the mind. Amen. That's why everything he begins to mention in that chapter is about a new conduct, a new attitude. Praise God. New conduct and attitudes found in Christ. It says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, therefore putting away lying. Amen. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speaking truth with your neighbor is the spirit that flows from your mind. That is the attitude that comes from your mind. Praise God. So your mind is renewed. That's like Romans 12, 2. Your mind is renewed and the conduct, the attitude that flows from it is renewed. Glory to God. Be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. You see that now? So everything that flows from your mind is renewed. Hallelujah. Those are the things that flow from your mind. That's the spirit that has been renewed. Amen. The spirit of your mind is about the conduct and the attitudes that flow from your mind. So just as your mind is renewed, the attitudes and the conducts that flow from it are also renewed. Glory to God. So spirit there also is about attitudes. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We'll see two more examples, and then we'll go to another word to see how the same word would mean different things based on the context. Philippians chapter 1, and verse 27. Praise God. Look at this carefully. Bible says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Have you seen? Striving together for the faith of the gospel, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind. The spirit there also is about the attitude and disposition you should have towards the gospel. All of us should stand fast. That's the spirit. Amen. To stand fast. A united stand for the gospel. No divisions. No, you know, me, I'm not doing again. All of us should stand fast and contend for the faith of the gospel in the face of persecutions and adversity. So that's the spirit there. Standing fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. This is the last one. I'm going to see the same word spirit, but different meanings based on different context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Bible says, do not quench the spirit. Amen. The word quench there is the word that means to extinguish. It means to put out something. This cannot be the Holy Ghost. Have you seen? It can't be the Holy Ghost. You can't quench, you can't snuff out the Holy Ghost. You've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of final redemption. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, 2 Corinthians 5:5. We've been sealed with the Spirit of God till the day of redemption. Romans chapter 8, the Spirit has been given to us as a first fruit. Hallelujah. So the Spirit here is to be understood in context. What is the Spirit? Hallelujah. You can't snuff out the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, but you can quench the activities of the Spirit. So verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Hallelujah. Those are activities of the Spirit. You can't quench the Holy Ghost, but you can suppress, you can extinguish, you can put out the fire. Hallelujah. You can put out the fire and activities of the Spirit if you stop practicing these things. Do not despise prophecies. If you begin to despise prophecies, you are going to snuff out the activity of the Spirit called prophecy. Hallelujah. If you don't rejoice always, you are going to snuff out the activity of the Spirit called joy. Hallelujah. If you don't pray without ceasing, you're going to snuff out the activity of the Spirit called prayer. If you don't give thanks in everything, you're going to snuff out the activity of God, or of the Spirit rather, called thanksgiving. Have you seen that? Praise God. So when there's a need for you to rejoice, you should be found rejoicing. Hallelujah. When there's a need for you to pray, you should be found praying. Otherwise, you're going to quench the Spirit. So the Spirit you are quenching is not the Holy Ghost, the person of God, is not the human spirit also. You are quenching the activities of the Spirit. Let's go to another word quickly. The word faith. Hallelujah. The word faith from the Greek word pistis. Amen. Pistis could mean to have faith in God, to believe in the gospel. In some other places also, it means personal conviction, individual persuasion. Hallelujah. Persuasion. Glory to God. Romans in chapter 14, verse 22. Amen. So, wherever you see the word faith, don't assume it's talking about having faith for salvation. It could mean something else based on the context. Romans in chapter 14, verse 22. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Hallelujah. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Is it possible for a believer to not do certain things from faith? Don't we all have faith in Christ? Well, we all have faith as per having faith in Christ for salvation. But we all do not hold the same persuasion concerning matters. Romans chapter 14 is a chapter of the Bible that clarifies or that deals with doubtful things. Some believe they can eat vegetables. Some believe, no, they can eat meat. Some believe it's about a particular day of worship. Some believe it's about every day. So in that context, Paul says, is this your faith? This persuasion, have it between yourself and God. Hallelujah. Look at this other place, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and speaking giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And then on and on. So Paul says some will depart from the faith. Say, can you see? Believers can be unsaved. Believers can be lost. After all, Paul says some will depart from the faith. Depart from the faith is talking about the teachings, the doctrine. So faith can also be used for the doctrine, the body of truth. Hallelujah. Passed on to us. Praise God. Look at this other place where it is used like that. Jude 3. Jude has only one chapter. So Jude 3. Glory to God. Jude 3. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jude 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We should contend for the faith. Amen. He's talking about the body of truth, the revelation, the doctrine of Christ delivered to the saints once for all. Let's contend for it. Hallelujah. He's talking about the teachings of the faith. Amen. Because he says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So some folks have corrupted the teaching, the message. Amen. So we must contend for the sanctity of that message. Amen. The preservation of that truth. That is what he refers to as contending for the faith, the doctrine. Amen. Acts of Apostles chapter 14 verse 22. Look at how this is also used. Acts of Apostles 14, 22. The context will always determine the meaning of the word every time. Praise God. And that's one of my problems with some folks who are so crazy about principles of Bible hermeneutics and they don't even understand the application. You must learn it well. Amen. Some of those principles have been misapplied. You hear someone say, law of first mention. So he comes across a particular word in a particular epistle and then he says, first mention. He goes to Genesis. What it means in Genesis cannot be what it means in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. The first mention, the law of first mention should be applied to how it was used in the ministry of that man or in that particular book. Praise God. When was the first time he mentioned this word in this book? He can give me an idea or a clue as to how that word will be used continually in that book. Amen. So that is a guide. Now, sometimes even in the same book, they don't have the same meaning. So I must narrow my interpretation or my definition to the immediate context in that same book. Hallelujah. But sometimes the way the author uses the word at the beginning of the book is the same flow you find through the book. So that's how to use law of first mention. Not to go to Exodus and then be connecting it to something said in 1 John 2. Hallelujah. So context is very key. Glory to God. Context is very key. Acts of Apostles chapter 14 verse 22. Amen. Bible says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. The faith here, you know, they were already disciples. They were already saved. So when he says to continue in the faith, he was talking about continuing in the message, in the teachings. That's what they went to do. They went to strengthen them by teaching them all over again. Hallelujah. Elsewhere, you find them say, men should continue in the grace of God. And it's the same thing. It's about continuing to receive, continuing in receiving the message of Christ. Hallelujah. For spiritual growth. Glory to God. So context is important. Let's see another word quickly. The word ministry. Amen. That's the word diakonia. Ministry. It could be used in different, it could be used for different things. Based on the context. It could mean different things based on the context. It could mean the office of a teacher. It could mean the office of a deacon. It could just mean service. It could mean relief or helps. Hallelujah. The context will always determine the meaning of the word per time. Praise God. So let's see some examples. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 17. Acts of Apostles 1 verse 17. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, verse 17. Bible says, listen now, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. What ministry? The apostles were looking for a replacement for Judas. So the ministry there is the ministry of an apostle. So when they say this ministry, it's about apostleship. Praise God. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 6 verse 4. Bible says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is about the teaching ministry. Praise God. The ministry of the word. Amen. Of course, by the hands of the apostles. Right here in context. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Romans 12 verse 7. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Bible says, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. Okay, let me read from verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. What is the ministry there? The word ministry there is just service. Hallelujah. It is not about the teaching ministry because it mentions teaching. It is not also about the flow of the Spirit because he already mentions prophecy. Amen. He already mentions exhortation too at chapter 8. At verse 8. He already mentions giving also at verse 8 equally. He also mentions leading and all that. So ministry simply is just service. Hallelujah. Service. A service to the saints. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. Now, because it's talking about the body of Christ. So it's not ministry of reconciliation. It's in the body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Bible says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, and that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, ministry of the saints here is about meeting a particular need. Praise God. Meeting a particular need. It could be material, most likely material needs. Because at verse 17, Paul says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Archicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit, verse 18, and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. So it's about meeting needs. Glory to God. That's the ministry in that context. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. This particular one has been interpreted in such a myopic way. I myself was guilty of that for some years when I first met the Word of God. Ephesians 4:12, I just assumed that it was talking about the particular ministry. But then as I grew my knowledge of God's Word, it occurred to me that, no, the ministry there is all-encompassing. Ephesians 4, verse 12, Bible says, for the equipping of the saints, let me start from verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Not a particular ministry. Because it mentions the ministry gift. And it mentions training. It's the ministry gifts that will do this equipping. We know it cannot be about one particular ministry. It's about all kinds and all forms of ministry. Praise God. Ministry to God. In, you know, singing unto the Lord, ministering to the Lord, ministry to the body of Christ, walking in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in the gifts and the flows of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, also meeting the needs of the saints, ministering to our needs, body, physical needs rather, hallelujah, and then ministry to the world, which is the ministry of reconciliation. You can juxtapose this text with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Amen. So the ministry gifts will not equip you for one particular ministry. They will equip you for every good work. Ephesians 2:10. Where is workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has ordained before time began. For good works. Hallelujah. All kinds of ministry. All forms of ministry. The ministry gifts are there to equip us and to train us for every good work. Hallelujah. I think we are going to stop here today. Praise God. And continue in the next teaching to see some other examples of how words carry different meanings based on the context of usage. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Amen. With your friends, family members, let's just come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Sometimes we can choose to pray on the broadcast. Either way, don't forget to tune in, invite your friends, family members, share on your status, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God or in prayers. Hallelujah. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, full of faith and power, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.